For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. Donald Trump has launched a vicious attack on Republican Party leaders, accusing them of offering him zero support in his quest for the White House. He's taken to Twitter to express his anger over the decision by top Republicans to stop defending him or campaigning for him. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
Once again, Donald Trump is engaged in a storm of angry, visceral Twitter messages, this time excoriating Republican leaders who have pulled the rug from under him. His fury targets Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the most powerful elected Republican in Washington, who on Monday said he would no longer campaign for Mr. Trump's victory. Mr. Trump brands him weak and ineffective. "It's nice," he writes, "that the shackles have been taken off me, and now I can fight for America the way I want to."
U.S. President Barack Obama is setting his sights on Mars. In an op-ed piece published by CNN, the president said sending humans to Mars by 2030 and returning them safely to Earth is the next chapter of America's story in space. FSN's Rachel Silverman has more.
The president said the ultimate goal is to make it possible to one day remain on Mars for an extended period of time. He said achieving that goal will require continued cooperation between government and private innovators, a collaboration that will begin in the coming years when companies send astronauts to the International Space Station. Seven companies have already received awards to develop new habitats that can sustain and transport astronauts on long-duration missions in deep space.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has canceled a planned trip to France after French President Francois Hollande said Moscow should face war crime charges for bombings in Aleppo, Syria. Meanwhile, a senior conservative MP in Britain has compared Russia's role in Syria to the Nazi regime in 1920 Spain. The comments of former International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell comes as British lawmakers held an emergency debate on the humanitarian situation in Aleppo. From London, Catherine Drew reports.
British lawmaker Andrew Mitchell, who requested the emergency debate, has accused Russia of shredding international law with its bombing campaign. He said the use of incendiary weapons, including buster and cluster bombs, in highly populated areas, amount to war crimes, according to the United Nations. He added that this matched the behavior of the Nazi regime in bombing the Spanish town of Guernica in 1937 during the Spanish Civil War. Mr. Mitchell says the UK government must work with allies to pressure Moscow to stop the bombing in Aleppo and explore options of how Western allies can enforce a no-fly zone to protect innocent civilians on the ground.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster.
And thanks, Rebecca Foster. Nice to hear from you this Tuesday. And I hope you're well too. It's going to be an interesting show, this. It is Tuesday, 11th of October, 2016. My name is Richie Allen. Going to give you the Twitter details straight off the bat. Do tweet at Richie Allen Show. Email richie at richieallen.co.uk. Pretty sure now that I've managed to get to the bottom of the problems with the old email. I was having a few issues with email, but I'm sure it's solved now. So email richie at richieallen.co.uk. Let's just get on with it.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Got a really good show lined up for you this Tuesday. Let me tell you about it. Coming up in the second hour of the show, Barry Troer joins me. This is extraordinary stuff. Two connected stories, although you wouldn't know that if you listen to MSM or watch it. In news bulletins today, two connected stories. One about Samsung's recall of the new Galaxy Note phone because it's been catching fire. And the other story, doctors announcing that there has been a sharp increase in the amount of young people developing aggressive brain tumours. They, the experts, say they don't know why, and they concede there might very well be an environmental factor at play. Former British naval weapons researcher and Wi-Fi expert Barry Trower joins us in hour two. And coming up in the first hour, mentioned yesterday, the Israeli ambassador to the UK, a guy called Mark Regev, has been doing the rounds of the British media, telling anybody who will listen that socialism has been infiltrated by anti-Semitism. Now, author and journalist Christopher Bolin, who has been on this programme before, Christopher, who has himself been labelled anti-Semitic by the Anti-Defamation League, joins me this hour to discuss it. I've given you the details, but I'll give you them again at Richie Allen Show and Richie at richieallen.co.uk. Say that again, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, Richie at richieallen.co.uk. We're broadcasting live on alternatecurrentradio.com, davidicke.com. Check out davidicke.com for the worldwide wake-up tour details. That's the worldwidewakeup.com as well. And of course, we're live on Fab Radio 2 here in Manchester. I'm going to crack on because there's so much to get through today. Now, you might know by now that the UK Parliament held a three-hour debate on Syria today. Not much of a debate, really, because a debate means differing opinions. There weren't many different opinions today. It was largely the same opinion. You know the opinion, you've heard it by now. Russia is bad. Syria is bad. We're good. Russia and Syrians killing civilians. We want to help. That's what we want to do. Now, Boris Johnson is the UK Foreign Secretary. He, I suppose you could say he chaired the debate. This is some of what he had to say today.
Satellite photographs in the public domain leave no doubt that the convoy was struck from the air. The incident took place after dark. By Russia's own account, the warplanes of Syria's regime cannot themselves strike targets after dark. And by Russia's own account, its own aircraft were in the vicinity at the time. All the available evidence, therefore, points to Russian responsibility for the atrocity. And I trust the UN Board of Inquiry will establish exactly what happened.
Because if you can't trust the UN Board of Inquiry, Jesus, who can you trust, eh? So they're like a dog with a bone here. Russia blew up the UN convoy. All the evidence points in their direction, says Bojo the Clown. Well, it doesn't, of course, because the Russians, lest we forget, had a drone in the area around the convoy. And it took a photograph, didn't it? And the photograph showed a truck with a mortar travelling alongside the UN aid convoy. This has been ignored, of course. Then Bojo the Clown says, or said today even, that he's amazed at the lack of outrage, the lack of horror among British people whom he believes should be protesting at the Russian embassy in London.
I listened to all the speeches that made the point that there is no commensurate horror, it seems to me, among some of those anti-war protest groups. And I would like to see, I agree with the member for Kinnell, but I would certainly like to see demonstrations outside the Russian embassy against what... Where is the Stop the War coalition at the moment? Where are they? I believe that it's up to us in the government to show a lead. And week after week in the UN, we are indeed doing what we can to point out what the Russians are up to build an international understanding of what is going on in Syria.
I reckon the Russians kidnapped Madeleine McCann. That's where this is all going to end up. The Stop the War Coalition, Bojo, have enough to do with the crimes of the United Kingdom without worrying about any bullshit propaganda about the state of Russia. You hear what he said there, Johnson? He said our lies. Well, he didn't say this, but effectively he said our lies are having no effect. At least not on the Stop the War Coalition anyway. But at least on the international community, or on the international community front, Johnson said, we're making progress. What that means is, translation, we will get our no-fly zone. Now, I'm well aware that when we use terms like no-fly zone, some people don't understand what it means. Not because they're stupid, not because they're ignorant, just they don't know what it means. We mention it all the time. Basically, the US, France, the UK, the Saudis, Israel, the coalition of the scumbags, basically, would declare an area or a territory in Syria a no-fly zone. And the reason they would do that is because they want the Syrian and Russian air forces to stop bombing the shit out of the crazy jihadists that we've armed. Simple as that. That's what the no-fly zone is about. You're giving yourself the very dubious right to shoot anything down that moves in the no-fly zone. But while you're doing that, you're doubling down on the assistance that you're giving to the lunatics. It's a brilliant plan. It worked in Libya, and it basically sacked Libya, sacked the country, and left it the lawless lunatic asylum that it is now. And I bet you're wondering, you're ranting on again, Richie. What about Her Majesty's opposition party, the Labour Party? They were at the debate today. They must have said something. Well, don't get too excited. Don't get your knickers in a twist. Because Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry said there had to be strong statesmanship and not more brinkmanship in dealing with the crisis in Syria. Thornberry told MPs, Shadow Foreign Secretary under Jeremy Corbyn. War crimes have been committed during this terrible war, she said. These are the war crimes of Assad and Russia. And there are the war crimes of the jihadists. Thornberry said she expected those responsible to be tried before the International Criminal Court. Now, speaking of the International Criminal Court, former US Navy Commander Leah Bulger, an old friend of ours, we mentioned her on the programme last night. She's been on my shows many times. Leah says, it is rich that the US wants Russia investigated for war crimes in Syria, but the US won't place itself under the jurisdiction of the ICC.
The United States not even placing themselves under the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. It's saying that we're above the law and other countries should be held to account, but not us, because we're the biggest and the most powerful military. So whatever we do is correct. And so it doesn't hold itself to account. It brushes off the war crimes that it commits by saying it's collateral damage.
And as David Icke said today on davidicke.com, and I couldn't have put it more succinctly myself, the so-called conflict in Syria was instigated by a joint operation involving the UK Foreign Office and the US State Department and the Pentagon. Using rebels they funded, armed and shipped in from outside the country, and yet today the instigators of this catastrophe are now trying to blame it all on Russia and Assad. Simple as that. The US and the UK are a killing machine. They work to hide their fundamental responsibility for untold civilian deaths worldwide by pointing the finger at those responding to the coldly planned human disaster which the killing machine has caused, and the grotesque madmen they have unleashed on the Syrian, Iraqi and Libyan peoples. DavidIcke.com. Now, brain tumours, we're going to get into this in great detail in hour two, but I'm going to mention it now. Brain tumours kill more children and adults under the age of 40 than any other cancer. Brain tumour research came out today to say it is campaigning to see the national spend on brain tumour research increased to between £30 and £35 million a year. They want to bring up the funding in line with breast cancer and leukemia cancer funding. Every week a child dies from a brain tumour, more than those lost under the age of 15 to leukemia. Let me repeat, brain tumours kill more children and adults under the age of 40 than any other cancer. Now today, this got a lot of coverage on the BBC. The BBC, in the guise of Rachel Burden on BBC 5 Live Breakfast, spoke with Professor Jeff Pilkington from Portsmouth University. Jeff, God love him, hasn't a clue what's causing the tumours.
Well, we don't really know what causes the brain tumours, and in fact, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack to a large extent. So money is probably better invested at this stage in dealing with those patients who are presenting with brain tumours, as opposed to the long search for the causes of around 120 or more types of brain tumour that exist at the moment.
Now, I think I heard Jeff right. I heard this live today. Jeff said, we're better trying to help patients with brain tumours rather than looking for the cause. That's what he said. He sure did. Now, Rachel Burden, the presenter, then asked Jeff, has there been any advances in the treatment for brain tumours?
For most tumours, and particularly those in the malignant brain tumours which start from the substance of brain, the so-called primary brain tumours, in adults, the treatment hasn't undergone significant change. With the introduction of radiotherapy and then some drugs, chemotherapy, there was a modest, I would say, increment in the survival times and so on. But we've been using the same type of drug. We've been using so-called DNA alkylating agents for now 5 decades, and there's been precious little that's been introduced since then that's been successful.
Blasting the brain with radiotherapy has had modest success, said Jeff Pilkington. I'd love to get a definition of modest, because from what I've read extensively over the last 4 or 5 years, radiotherapy destroys the brain and turns it to mush. She then asks him, does Rachel Burden, the $64,000 question.
Why an increase in these cases?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there is a perceived increase in the incidence. We're not sure why that is.
Is it environmental?
I think it's likely to be environmental. You really need to talk to a neuroepidemiologist about that. But when we look at the possibility of the increased elderly population, we look at the increased magnitude of the diagnostic approaches and so on and so forth, that could account for a certain proportion, but not for the increase that we're seeing. So it suggests that there may be something to do with the way we're living our lives.
Right. You're damn right it's environmental. And we're going to get into the environmental impact of this, why it's happening, with Barry Troer in hour two. But finally, she asks him, does Rachel Burden, what about new treatments in development? Now, listen carefully.
Of course, the other problem is that the treatments which are used for many cancers simply don't cross the blood-brain barrier. They won't reach the brain. So we're trying to find new ways of delivering drugs, reformulating drugs, or using nanoparticle delivery systems to get these agents into the brain to directly affect the tumour cells.
Well, we wish you all the best with the very important work that you're doing.
Very important work, says Rachel. They want to inject nanoparticles into the brain. They suspect environmental factors, but would rather focus on treating patients with brain tumours now than actually wasting any time discovering why people might be getting them. Is that modern conventional medicine summed up right there? I think it is. 18 minutes past the hour, back in a minute.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Richie Allen.
Welcome back to the programme. It's Tuesday, October the 11th, 2016. My name is Richie Allen. Check out our broadcast partners, fabradiointernational.com and alternatecurrentradio.com. Terrific platforms. And I must mention again, the Worldwide Wake Up Tour picks up again next week. It's on the European leg. To find out where David is going to be, go to theworldwidewakeup.com or go to davidicke.com itself and find out all about it. It's absolutely incredible. I saw it on the Isle of Wight and I'm looking forward to seeing it again in Manchester in January of next year. God, that's going to come very quick, isn't it? This is your Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. My name is Richie Allen. Looking forward to chatting with Christopher Bolland next. Don't forget, coming up a bit later on, Barry Troer joins us to talk to us about the environmental factors causing brain tumours in children. This is U2. Before Bono swallowed the blue pill, I still haven't found what I'm looking for from you two on the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. 24 minutes past the hour. Great to be with you this Tuesday, loving the programme. Thanks for your tweets. Massive amount of tweets coming in already on issues such as, well, the demonisation of Russia in the British press today. To follow what other people are tweeting, just go to Twitter and put Richie Allen Show, all one word, in there, and you'll see what everybody else is tweeting, and you can interact with them there. Now, as we mentioned to you on yesterday's programme, the Israeli ambassador to the UK, a guy called Mark Regev, whom in fact is an Australian-born man. He's been doing the rounds of the British media this week to talk about how, in his opinion, anti-Semitism has infiltrated the left and socialism in this country. He wrote an article in The Guardian last Friday saying this. He's done Channel 4 News, BBC News, CNN, the whole lot. And on there, he's basically repeated this mantra over and over again. We've heard this a lot this year. We've heard it a lot over the years, but we've heard it a lot this year particularly, that any criticism of Israel is usually not really criticism of Israel. It's anti-Israeli sentiment or anti-Semitism disguised as genuine political discourse. Well, our first guest today, he's no stranger to being labelled anti-Semitic because of his opinions and because of his research. He's a brilliant journalist. We love him. He's well-travelled. He's travelled all over the world. And he's published articles on, well, anything you can think of. But he came to our attention because of his terrific work investigating what really happened on September the 11th. We recommend you go to his website because it's updated daily with terrifically thought-provoking articles about world events. It's bollin.com. That's B-O-L-L-Y-N.com. Let's welcome back to the programme from Sweden, our friend Christopher Bollin. Chris, welcome. How are you?
Why is it not working here, yeah?
Ah, and he can't hear me, I don't think, by the sounds of it. I think Chris might have a problem hearing us, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. I'll tell you, no, we won't. We'll take some more music, and we'll see can we get Chris's audio sorted out now. So this is Alice Cooper in Poison. No Freudian slip here in light of what we'll be talking about later. Let's hope we can get Chris back on the line. Back in two. Right, Alice Cooper in Poison on the Richie Allen Show. Let's hope we've sorted that out. And Chris,
hello.
Chris joins us now. Chris, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's not working again. Hello, it's a problem on his end.
All right, we can't. Chris can't hear us. I have no idea why that is happening. But it's going to be a problem, I think. And I don't. Do you know what I might do? Let's see. I might have the answer to this. Right, stand by. I'm going to take a break. Back in a minute, and hopefully this time. We'll have Christopher Bollin on the line. Quick break back with Chris Bollin, hopefully. Keep your fingers crossed in a couple of minutes.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk. Now.
Okay, welcome back. We have a problem with Chris Bollin getting our feed. I don't know why that is, but we're going to work on it and hopefully we can sort it out quickly because time is running out on us. It's exactly half past the hour I'm going to take some more music and hopefully in the meantime get this one sorted out. If we don't, we're going to have to move on and we're going to have to try and figure out what is going on. Ah, the joys of it. This is Blues Traveller, hopefully back with Chris Bolin in a couple of minutes. Right, that's music from Blues Traveller. We seem to have a big problem with getting Chris Bolin on the line there from Sweden. We can hear what's coming from Chris, but Chris can't hear what's coming from us. And I can't do anything about that on my end. I've just done a test here. It seems that everything is okay our end. We've configured this pretty well. It's all brand new and it's working thus far. So I don't know what else to tell you, really. What a nuisance. It's one of those things. Right, we better get rid of the music then. Yeah, we're not getting anything. We can hear Chris loud and clear. There he is there, chatting away with his wonderful wife, Helia. But he can't hear me, and I can't do anything. We've double-checked that he's getting our feed. He is getting our feed. I make sure of that before I do any interview, but I can't do any more than that. So I think we're going to have to skip this and move on to something else. What an absolute shame that is. But what can you do? In the meantime, while I do something else, because that's usually what you do. You do something else. The comments made by Mark Regev to Channel 4 News on Sunday's programme. Here they are again in case you missed them.
But I mean, a huge amount has changed in the past 80 years, and there are many people, Jewish people, non-Jewish people, people within and without the Labour Party, who are very angry about the way the government of Israel has acted over the last two decades. And many of those people argue that any criticism at all of Israeli government is shut down by people accusing them of being anti-Semitic.
I would totally reject that, because we're not talking about Israeli government policy. If you want, Jackie, to have a discussion about Israeli government policy, I'm very happy to do that. But people can debate Russian government policy, French government policy, Italian government policy, but no one denies the very right of those countries to exist. Yet some people say that my country has no right to exist, that the Jewish people have no right to national self-determination. What's going on here?
But what about the argument that they feel they cannot criticise Israel as a state without being called anti-Semitic? It's a way of shutting down debate.
I don't think that's true. I think it's a straw man. The Israeli public, the Israeli press, the Israeli parliament, we have vibrant debates about different policies, what is right, what is wrong, which policy is effective, which policy works, which policy doesn't work. Our parliament mirrors your parliament that way. But if someone stands up and says the Jewish people have no right to national self-determination, that the Jewish state has no right to exist, not in any borders, that is something else. If people focus an irrational hatred on Israel, what's that all about?
Yeah, an interesting aside there. Those of you who have only gotten to know me in the last couple of years probably won't know, but a few years ago, I used to regularly converse with Abraham Foxman, one time executive director, although I'm sure the title was a bit different, executive director of the Anti-Defamation League. And I used to interview him probably once every couple of months, and we used to talk about these issues. And there were fairly robust exchanges, it must be said, with me going after him, accusing his organisation of accusing anybody who says anything about the state of Israel of anti-Semitism. But the guy, to his credit, used to come on the radio and debate these things with me. Now, in recent times, because of the direction I've moved in myself in terms of the subjects I cover and the company I keep, he's neglected, he's declined several invitations to come on this programme and represent the Anti-Defamation League and to talk about these issues, which is a shame because, as I said, I used to enjoy my very robust exchanges with the man a few years ago. What can I tell you about that? Really got it about Christopher Bolin. What are we looking at now? 22 minutes to the top of the hour. Can't figure out what's wrong. I'm pretty sure it's not a problem our end, but I'm not the most technically gifted guy that ever lived, so I'm just going to have to wait until I can get somebody to have a look at it. So there you go. A lot of tweets coming in, by the way, so I'm going to read some of those. Hi to Ian Shilliker. How you doing, Ian? Hi to Hubertus, to Ambrose, to Biz, to Mary Ellen. How you doing, Mary Ellen? Who's a big fan of Alice Cooper, by the way. Thanks, Mary Ellen. To Luga as well, and to Faisal, who says, I'm fond of the blue pill stuff as well, Richie. I made reference to Bono and Bono back in the day. Couple of interesting photographs being tweeted to me there by Colm in Dublin and one or two others. It might be difficult to actually pinpoint the exact date and time that Bono went to the dark side. I don't know. I've mentioned on many programmes before, I spent so much time over the years, particularly as a younger man, listening to the music of U2 and watching them live and admiring them, that very difficult for me to take in the last decade or so, some of the things that he's done. Not so much the band, but he's done. Hi to Millie as well, and to Sean, and to Sean Hinchcliffe as well. How you doing, Sean? To Rex Landy, thanks for the tweet, Rex. A lot of activity, I should say, on Twitter today. Hi to Lou Stark and to Martin Houston as well, and also to Anne Selly. And Alex Doust tells me that he's a tinnitus sufferer. That can't be nice, Alex. In fact, the future Mrs. Allen has dealt with that from time to time. Don't know what I can tell you about that. Hi to David Kona as well. And David Kona asks a very interesting and a very valid question. What if Russia was to declare a no-fly zone and patrol it themselves? Well, David, I think if Russia were to do that, you might very well have a situation where there's an escalation that goes beyond, I think, anything that anybody has seen, at least in my lifetime. I wouldn't like the Russians to do that. Now, Chris Bolland, God love him, is trying valiantly to work things out his end. And I'm typing him as I'm talking to you now. We're going to try this one more time, and then I really can't carry on with it. What a pain in the backside that is. Let's see what we can do. Let's see, can we get Chris back? What is it now? It's exactly 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Let's see, can we do it? We can't call him on his phone either. It doesn't appear. So let's see, can we get him back on the line? What an absolute nightmare. I can't figure this out for the life of me. Waiting for him to call. So look, I'm going to have to take more music. We like Chris a lot. I'm going to give him another minute or so to try and get this sorted out. And if he can't, in a minute we're going to have to move on. This isn't BBC Towers, folks. We don't have the benefit of producers and engineers working in the background. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Look, I'll tell you what we'll do. Chris is calling through now. I'm hoping that he'll be able to hear us. But he can't. No, he can't. No, he can't hear a thing we're saying. We can hear him loud and clear. I don't know why that is, and I can't do anything about it right now. So in the meantime, here's some David Bowie. When we come back, we're moving on. Let's hope we get Barry Troer on in the second hour.
To leave.
I have a feeling we're going to have one of those nights, you know, that everything is failing. Except me, I never fail. It's never my fault. I was never wrong in my life. Except one time. When I thought I was wrong. Bizarre goings on here. The wonderfully amazing, brand spanking new All Bells and Whistles studio, which has been fantastic since we began broadcasting in it. Nothing has been touched. We know that. But for some reason, we're finding it very difficult to connect with people on Skype. I've been trying a couple of other people. One or two have said they can hear us loud and clear. Others are saying they can't. I don't know what's going on. It's a little bit bizarre. It's Tuesday's programme, the 11th of October 2016, 13 minutes to the top of the hour. It's the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. Christopher Bolland was standing by in Sweden to talk about the battles he's had with the Anti-Defamation League over the years because of the things that he's said and the things he's done in with respect to investigating September the 11th. But for some reason, although we were getting Chris's feed loud and clear, he couldn't hear us. I won't bore you. I know you were listening a couple of minutes ago. So I don't know what we're going to do about that. I'm hoping that between now and Barry Troer, that I'm going to be able to work this out myself. And I'm the most technically incompetent man that ever lived. Most men can do something. They can do stuff. You know, they can connect a DVD player to a television. I'm that guy who can't. Really. I'm one of those guys. I've never put a shelf up in the house. I've never put wallpaper up. It must be. I know those aren't electronic things. Never done any of that. Always had somebody to do them. The amount of times over the years my tradesman friends would say, how useless are you that you can't do basic stuff around the house? And I'm like, well, you wouldn't have a job, would you, if it wasn't for numpties like me. So I'm not very good at stuff. And I do have my great friend Paul Ripley on call. But by the time Paul gets to talking me through whatever might be the problem, it's going to be, well, it's going to be at the end of the night, isn't it? So thank you for your kind suggestions on Twitter, but your suggestions even aren't very helpful. Reinstalling stuff is not going to be the answer here. We're going to have to wait and see. I'm going to try Barry Troer in a couple of minutes' time. Actually, I'm going to try him to see, is he getting our feed? Right, it's 11 minutes. It's 12 minutes. It's actually 11 minutes to the top of the hour. We're hoping to talk with Barry Troer in hour two. Mentioned at the beginning of the programme in the monologue that brain tumours amongst the young amongst us, not just children, but the under 30s, are increasing exponentially. Experts are saying they don't know why. At the same time, and I'm not saying the Samsung Galaxy Note story is absolutely connected to the brain tumour story, but there is a connection in terms of the use of this technology and the rollout of Wi-Fi in our cities and our towns over the last 10 years or more is definitely a factor. And hopefully we'll get into that with Barry Troer in the second hour. Right, while I figure out what to do next, because I'm not sure if I'll be able to get Barry, let me, because my the communication side of my system seems to have gone down. We'll take a quick break.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works,
address from which you'd like the pictures, movies and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
And welcome back. Now, Sean sent me a story from the Daily Mail from 2009, so seven and a half years ago, in fact, about a man dying after his mobile phone exploded and basically severing an artery in his neck. This happened in Guangzhou in China. You know, I rang a guy today, and I was going to bring him on the programme with Barry Troer if he was available. And in fact, he was gutted that he's not available because he's away at the moment. But Professor Olle Johansson in Sweden, who's done an enormous amount of work over the years. In fact, I remember speaking with him on a radio show about 7 or 8 years ago about Nokia and internal documentation. Sounds like a John Grisham novel, this now, but it's absolutely true. Over a decade ago, Nokia were circulating a memo in their own company saying that overuse of mobile phones could have serious implications for children. And I remember speaking with Professor Olle Johansson about this, a Swedish doctor, and I was going to invite him to come on the programme with Barry Troer, such is the serious nature of this particular issue, the phones and children using them. And I was chatting with my producer today about our own observations of children, whether it's children in our own family or children that you encounter when you're out and about and doing your business. Now, I take public transport quite a lot in Manchester, and sometimes it's very early in the morning, and that coincides with the school run. And I'm dumbfounded at times, flabbergasted, to see children as young as, I suppose I'm only guessing, because I'm not speaking to these children's parents to find out how old they are. I don't think my intervention would be very welcome. But I'm stunned to see how young they are. And I'm guessing they're 6, 7, 8 years old. And they've got the latest smartphone, Samsung, iPhone, Sony phone, whatever it is. And I'm thinking, how much time are they spending on these devices? And you just know that the devices are connected to the family Wi-Fi hub. So the kid is on the internet pretty much most of the day. There's a brilliant chapter on this in David Icke's new book, Phantom Self, a chapter entitled Transphantomism. And David collates in the chapter a number of studies done by reputable, at least mainstream reputable, those who would be reputable amongst the mainstream media anyway, but academics who say that this is going to have a profound effect on us in the very near future. But not only that, but use of this technology has already had a very serious effect on our physiology and our biological makeup. And if we do connect with Barry, and I'm worried about this because we've had a bit of a failure here. We've had a bit of a collapse at the Richie Allen Show Towers. Don't know what's going on, but I'm going to try and figure it out. But it's a deadly, deadly serious issue. And it was tragic today, tragic, to hear mainstream media interview various men and women from academia who work in medicine saying, we don't know why there's a big increase in the amount of young people getting brain tumours. And the presenter, who must have an opinion on it, must have an idea. Nothing. Not, well, what about the increased use of devices like mobile phones? And Alex has tweeted me that he genuinely knows people who have panic attacks if they don't have access to their phones. We see it when we go out and about. I'll tell you more about that in the second hour. In the meantime, I'm going to take news to give me a chance to figure out what's going on. So we'll take news at the top of the hour. Taking us to news is Duran Duran. Let's say a prayer, but I'm not going to play Save a Prayer. Let's say a prayer that in the second hour we do connect with Barry Troer. Wow. One of those nights, I reckon. What can you do? You just got to grin and bear it, smile, move on, improvise, adapt and overcome. I was told some time ago. Back in 6 minutes.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. Donald Trump has launched a vicious attack on Republican Party leaders, accusing them of offering him zero support in his quest for the White House. He's taken to Twitter to express his anger over the decision by top Republicans to stop defending him or campaigning for him. Our Washington correspondent Simon Marks reports.
Once again, Donald Trump is engaged in a storm of angry, visceral Twitter messages, this time excoriating Republican leaders who have pulled the rug from under him. His fury targets Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the most powerful elected Republican in Washington, who on Monday said he would no longer campaign for Mr. Trump's victory. Mr. Trump brands him weak and ineffective. "It's nice," he writes, "that the shackles have been taken off me, and now I can fight for America the way I want to."
U.S. President Barack Obama is setting his sights on Mars. In an op-ed piece published by CNN, the president said sending humans to Mars by 2030 and returning them safely to Earth is the next chapter of America's story in space. FSN's Rachel Silverman has more.
The president said the ultimate goal is to make it possible to one day remain on Mars for an extended period of time. He said achieving that goal will require continued cooperation between government and private innovators, a collaboration that will begin in the coming years when companies send astronauts to the International Space Station. 7 companies have already received awards to develop new habitats that can sustain and transport astronauts on long-duration missions in deep space.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has canceled a planned trip to France after French President François Hollande said Moscow should face war crime charges for bombings in Aleppo, Syria. Meanwhile, a senior conservative MP in Britain has compared Russia's role in Syria to the Nazi regime in 1920 Spain. The comments of former International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell comes as British lawmakers held an emergency debate on the humanitarian situation in Aleppo. From London, Catherine Drew reports.
British lawmaker Andrew Mitchell, who requested the emergency debate, has accused Russia of shredding international law with its bombing campaign. He said the use of incendiary weapons, including buster and cluster bombs, in highly populated areas, amount to war crimes, according to the United Nations. He added that this matched the behavior of the Nazi regime in bombing the Spanish town of Guernica in 1937 during the Spanish Civil War. Mr. Mitchell says the UK government must work with allies to pressure Moscow to stop the bombing in Aleppo and explore options of how Western allies could enforce a no-fly zone to protect innocent civilians on the ground.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
To important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device. Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
You're listening to The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Yeah, and you're listening to Richie Allen on his own, on my lonesome, because I can't. I've just spoken with Barry Troer, and we can't get Barry through the system either. And there isn't anything I can do about it, because every obvious thing, I've scrutinised every possible, at least to the basis, or at least to the tune of my own very miserable knowledge, because, like I said, I mean, I've done a lot of live music DJing over the years. I know a little bit about what plugs into where, but this is a little bit more sophisticated than what I'm used to, because, like I said, this is a real radio mixing desk with all bells and whistles, and I really have no idea. Nothing has been touched, and we don't have any young children whom are playing in the studio and pressing buttons and all of that sort of thing. None of that. So I just don't know what to say about that, really. It's one of those funny things. And I'll sort it out tomorrow. I've been speaking with Paul Ripley, my friend, my colleague, and my engineer. And Paul will be here tomorrow to work on it. I suppose when you install this sort of setup, you have to kind of expect maybe one or two teething problems in the beginning. And we didn't have any, did we, really? I mean, we opened the new studio a couple of weeks ago, and we didn't really have any problems. A couple of sound issues, but not this sort of problem. I know those amongst us whom suspect everything, you know, and suspect foul play when this sort of thing happens. They've been on to me already, sending me emails saying, you know, you've got to expect to be interfered with. Listen, I'd love to be important enough to be interfered with. It's not that. I'm guessing there's been a failure of some box, because there are a number of sound cards and boxes and all sorts of things here. Something has gone wrong and we're going to have to fix it tomorrow. And I can't do much more about that. Barry, being the wonderful, decent, kind man that he is, he wasn't listening, because Barry doesn't. Barry stays away from the internet, but he was listening carefully to me describing what was going on. And God love him, because he worked in the Royal Navy and he's useful with his hands. He was like, well, why don't you twiddle this and twiddle that? But look, I'm not going to twiddle anything, because I would do more damage. I would do more damage if I went at it than if I left it alone. So I'm just going to leave it alone. So it's 7 minutes past the hour. So I don't know what to do. The adventurer in me, because this has happened to me over the years in talk radio, is tempted to just plug on and bore the absolute shite out of you by telling you stories and not play any music. But the professional in me is saying, you've just got to play some music now and wind your way through the rest of the programme until the top of the hour. I can't even take calls, you see, because it isn't working. My communications part of the system is just gone completely. I can hear people, but they can't hear me. Everything is being checked. Oh, holy Jesus, what are you going to do? Right, anyway, you just have to crack on with it. Just going to give a couple of quick plugs then. While I'm here, the Worldwide Wake Up Tour continues at a pace. David was in Czech Republic. He was in the Czech Republic. He was in the Czech Republic last week. Fascinating that, because they were using a system there that David had never used before, where all of those non-speaking members of the audience, well, they had an earpiece, and you can guess, they were getting instant translation from a translator. And David had friends of his, people who know how it works, and people who speak Czech, listening carefully. And apparently, the interpreters who were giving a real-time interpretation of what David was saying were doing an amazing job. And it gobsmacked David Icke. He couldn't believe it. He's like, it's incredible, this, isn't it? I can talk, not pause, not worry about it, just do what I do. And the folks are getting real-time translation through the old headphones. And he recounted a story many years ago when he was doing this sort of thing overseas, and David would have to speak for 20 seconds and then stop, and the interpreter would then repeat what David had said, and David would do it again, and so on, so on, so on. And it gave a real stop-start feel to the presentation, and it completely ruined the flow of the thing. But it's an amazing thing. In fact, I saw Kofi Annan. I went to cover Kofi Annan at the Palacio del Congresos in Estepona in Spain a few years ago. I was sent there by Talk Radio Europe to cover Kofi Annan. And I interviewed Kofi Annan while I was there. Boring as a dog's arse. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But they had that horrible situation where Annan would say something about global warming. And it was bollocks, obviously, utter bollocks. But he could only get two or three sentences in, and the Spanish interpreter would wave at him and say, hang on there, pal, let me just repeat that. And it was dreadful. But they can do it in real time now, and apparently it's brilliant. And I can't for the life of me figure out how they do it, because David doesn't have a script. Everything David says is from memory. He just uses the images as prompts. So he's not using a script. If you see, there's a monitor on stage in front of him, and the monitor is displaying the images which are on the big screen. There isn't a script there. There isn't even bullet points for the man, amazingly enough. So how did they do it so smoothly? How were they listening to that and instantly translating that in their mind and then speaking it to those members of the audience? It's an incredible skill, that. Now, my future Mrs. Allen, my amazing Caroline, is, I think she's a polyglot of sorts. What the fuck is a polyglot, Richie? Polyglot, somebody who speaks a lot of languages. She speaks several languages. And as good as she is, I think she'd struggle to do that. You know, to find the terminology, to find the phrase, the turn of phrase, to do justice to what the speaker is actually saying. But anyway, I'm going on and on and on about it. This is called filling. When I did my first television programme, people weren't there. The director, Phil, Richie, Phil. In other words, talk a lot of bollocks while we get something sorted out. Now, while my producer is a great woman, I don't have an in-studio producer, and I certainly don't have a... what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't have a runner to do stuff for me, to get stuff lined up for me. But even if they could, I can't do anything about it anyway. It's just one of those days. Hi to my friend and colleague, Jean-Anne Crowley in Dublin, who says, I can't seem to share stuff on Facebook today. Think they are cross with me, she says. This is becoming more and more obvious, isn't it, to people who use Facebook and use Twitter, that algorithms dreamed up by those who run Facebook and Twitter are designed not only to prevent the maximum amount of people whom you've connected to from actually seeing your posts. I mean, this is proper... I'm not going to swear. We all believed when we signed up to Facebook, didn't we, that we would make friends with people on Facebook. And if we posted something, you know, if we posted a strange-looking turd that had the face of Jesus in it, we believed that our friends would see that and that we would see what our friends posted. Obviously, this isn't happening. And this is why Facebook was designed to be as it is. And I refer you to Hayden Hewitt from LiveLeak.com, who's done extensive work on this through the Live Leak show. Facebook was dreamed up to take over the internet and to do away with personal websites. Because years ago, not me personally, but years ago we all had websites. Right, people whom were researching things or writing about things, they had their own websites, right? Their own websites. And if you wanted to see what they were saying, what MaryMurphy.com or MickeyMurphy.com was saying, you went to MickeyMurphy.com. What Facebook has done is, it has virtually obliterated personal websites. Now, they still exist. Christopher Bolin has a website. David Icke has a website. But the younger generations don't have websites. They don't have their own sovereign site online where they can write what they want and then direct others there to read it. What they have now is Facebook. So your Facebook page is like your own personal website, except it isn't sovereign, because if Facebook don't like you when you say things about people like Sean Addle and your newswire, if they don't like that, they can ban you for a month, as I've been banned. Now, I'm not looking for any sympathy here. Far more important people than me have been banned for saying more important things than your newswire is a load of bollocks, which it is. So that's what you have. So now when you post something on Facebook, so if you've got a fan page, now I don't have a fan page because I don't have fans. I'm not important. I have listeners. So the Richie Allen Show page, which is different to my personal page, is where we post information about the Richie Allen Show. As of today, it has just over 14,000 followers. Not bad. Not great. Not bad. You're to believe that when we post the lineup to the Richie Allen Show, that our 14,000 followers will see it in their newsfeed. What I've been led to believe by people who know a lot more about these things than me is less than 500 people who have chosen to follow the Richie Allen Show Facebook page will actually see what it is posted on that page by me, by my producer, by Aaron, or by Simon. Now, Hayden Hewitt of LiveLeak.com and of the Richie Allen television show, who isn't as conspiratorial, excuse me, in his beliefs as I am, Hayden will tell you, Richie, it's all about money. And he's right up to a point. It is about money. Facebook want you to pay them to get your post or your product to the widest possible audience. And that's one of the reasons why the algorithms prevent people from seeing what it is that you put out there. It's one of the reasons. But the bigger reason, I know Hayden doesn't agree with this, maybe he does. When we do a TV show in a couple of weeks' time, when we get back to it, I'll get into it with him. One of the reasons is censorship. They don't want people saying certain things. I remember when the referendum, the European Union referendum, was being debated before the June 23rd polling day. David himself and Jamie, his son, who basically run David's Facebook page between them, were given month-long bans for posting a European Union flag, which is the blue flag with all the stars of the EU member states on it, posting that with a swastika in the middle of it, talking about the Nazi roots of the Brussels European Union. They were banned for that by Facebook. Banned from it. That's what's really going on with Facebook. So a lot of you are telling me on Twitter that you've experienced these problems. It's frustrating. You try to share certain things and you can't. And Facebook is preventing you from doing that. And you get warned about certain posts. This is the way it is. Stevie tweets, Richie, how soon do you think before the full spectrum global control grid will be until fully augmented? I don't know, Stevie. I don't know if they're ever going to realise it. There's that much awareness of it now. I'm not sure they're ever going to realise it. I know that's the agenda. You know, to connect every one of us to a cloud. We are all meant to be connected to a super grid. It's horrifying. You know, I mentioned last week, there's a guy in California who's running for president. It's a bit of a joke, really. But he gets a lot of coverage. USA Today have interviewed him. And, well, a number of mainstream newspapers in America have interviewed him. His name is Zoltan Istvan. Look him up. And he represents the Transhumanist Party. Now, he's one of the biggest champions of the transhumanist agenda. And I've invited him on the program several times. You know, I've basically said, come on, Zoltan. Come on, have a go, you know. Come on and spend an hour with me and let's have a bash at transhumanism. But he's declined. He originally agreed to come on and then he changed his mind and declined. And now he's ignoring me. But he's a great champion, basically, of turning us into basically some sort of superhuman beings. He's a great champion of using technology, implanted technology in the body to cure all manner of illnesses. But more than that, even if it could, he believes if it were to be developed and sophisticated, or if it were to be developed and if it was as sophisticated as to be able to reverse aging altogether and make us immortal, he thinks it's a good idea. But he won't talk to us now. And I would have gotten into this now with Barry Troer. It's 20 minutes past the hour. And you are with the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. Sean McDonald tweets, Richie, any thoughts on Russia and Turkey pipeline agreement missing out Israel completely and the backlash of NATO? Lots of thoughts on it, Sean. Lots of thoughts on it and the implications of it and what it might mean in the very near future. And I plan on getting into it on the programme in the next couple of days, my friend. Let me know what you think. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Now, Mary Ellen tells me this would happen to her or this does happen to her, or did happen to her, when she had her blog talk show. When certain guests would come on, we'd have interference for no reason. It does go on, Mary Ellen. I don't doubt it for a minute, but not here. Not in this instance. You see, I'm in total control here. And I stream with a very, very big streaming company from the US, and I control that here. So it isn't possible for me to be hacked. And I don't believe they can screw with the Skype. We could hear our guests, but they couldn't hear us. There's something silly gone wrong. I don't think we're being interfered with. Like I said, they've got bigger fish to fry than me. My friend Tez Howell is at Event City in Manchester watching the snooker, refused to pay £10 for the commentary earpiece, and is listening to the Richie Allen Show while watching world-class snooker. Tez, you have made my day. You've made my day. Fantastic stuff. Tez, good man. Fluffles says, Richie, do your Sunday View thing. Dude, it comes natural. Go on one. Do you know, there's a lot I'd like to rant about, but I'm not going to do it. There's a lot I'd like to rant about, but I'm not going to do it right now. I want to say hi to Grant McCullough. Grant, how are you? Thanks very much for the kind words. And Faisal tweets, it's a shame that Skype is a monopoly, or you could easily have a backup system to try there. It does kind of have a monopoly, doesn't it, Skype? We do use Skype, don't we? When I say we use Skype, it's used universally now for this type of thing because of the audio quality. But my problem is I couldn't even ring the backup phone numbers. The entire system and phone system is just not working. So it's a desk issue, I have no doubt. We've got a state-of-the-art Allen & Heath brand spanking new radio desk specifically created for radio stations. It's wonderful, but it's just not working right now. You're hearing my beautiful dulcet tones and my sexy voice, but I can't do much else for you. I can't do much else for you right now. Keep the tweets coming in at Richie Allen Show, Richie at richieallen.co.uk. All right, I'll tell you what I will do. I'm going to play some music. And have a glass of water before I dry up. This is Bruce Springsteen. It's called Tunnel of Love from 1987. I'll be back with more for you in a minute on this rather skewed version of the Richie Allen Show. A rather skewed edition, I should say, of Tuesday's Richie Allen Show. Happy Jesus. Cuddle up, angel, cuddle up, my little dove. Well, right now. Bruce Springsteen is the greatest show on planet Earth, I'm telling you. There's nothing like it when he's on tour again next year, because he never stops touring, by the way. Go and see him. Go and see the Bruce. And put your opinions about Bruce's political persuasions, Bruce's political affiliations, put them to one side. Lose the anger. Lose the bitterness. Just because they're not with us doesn't mean they're against us. They're not. Love, Bruce. Picked up his autobiography, which has just been published. You know what I love about Bruce Springsteen? You get these people, they have an album out, or two albums out, or they went on Strictly Come Dancing, and then they have an autobiography out. Or you get a footballer, soccer player, basketball player, and they have a season, and they play well in a season, and they score a few goals, next thing they have a book out. Bruce Springsteen has waited till he was in his 70s to write his autobiography. And I'm about 120 pages into it, and it's absolutely fascinating. I recommend it highly. Wonderful stuff. Now, my great friend and colleague, the aforementioned, the terrific actress herself, Jean-Anne Crowley, of, well, lots of fame, of Tenko fame, of Doctor Who fame, of Educating Rita fame, of many incredible productions at the National Theatre fame, and much more as well. Jean-Anne said to me, we've been spoken about by a woman called Alexis Kleinman, who is the deputy editor, or the deputy managing editor, of Impact and Innovation at the Huffington Post. Now, Alexis Kleinman has a blog, and on the blog she's been speaking about what she thinks are rather silly theories about Hurricane Matthew. Now, her blog is at Mike Network, is it? It's at mike.com, M-I-C.com. And the blog is entitled, Did FEMA Create Hurricane Matthew? Inside the Wild Theory That Liberals Created the Storm. And she's basically making great merriment and having a great giggle at the theories doing the rounds of various independent media programmes that technology exists, and that technology has the capacity to create super storms. And in the blog is this paragraph. Former US Secretary of Defense William Cohen warned that other nations are using an electromagnetic technology by which they can create hurricanes, steer hurricanes, and create earthquakes. Terry Lawton said on The Richie Allen Show, an alternative news radio program, on Wednesday. The concern about these types of technologies has been raised even in Congress. So it's far from conspiracy theory to talk about this. This is all documented fact. And Kleinman says, Cohen did basically say this, though he never implicated the US. And that claim has been thoroughly debunked. Cohen was referring to a fictional scenario dreamed up by futurist writer Alvin Toffler. Now in that, she's actually wrong. And she goes on then to talk about, well, she actually says, we absolutely believe that they have the technology to do it, host Richie Allen said in the interview. It's absolutely credible that the current named Hurricane Matthew might very well have been deliberately started by those who are pursuing this agenda. And then she goes on to talk about the various agendas. So, yeah, the deputy managing editor of Innovation and Impact at the Huffington Post has picked up our interview with Terry Lawton. But what's remarkable about people like Alexis Kleinman, who might very well be a nice woman, I don't know anything about her, but her own media has talked about this issue in the guise of, or in the form of, Jesse Ventura, who is a darling of the Liberals. He's obviously a darling of some independent media in the US, but he's also a go-to guy for the mainstream media. Jesse Ventura would be, and I interviewed Jesse Ventura a few years ago, and I didn't have any problem with him. I subsequently had a problem with his attitude in an episode of his TV show where he physically threatened David Icke, and I didn't like that very much, and I told him as much in an email I sent him. But when I interviewed Ventura, I had no problem with him. he would be the mainstream media's go-to guy when they want to brush shoulders with the alternative media. They'll use Jesse and they'll sometimes use Alex Jones to kind of get a kind of a window onto the world of the independent media. When, to be honest, neither Jesse nor Alex, regardless of what you think of them, and I don't have any problems with them personally, Jesse and Alex are certainly not representative of, I wouldn't say, the independent media, the true independent media, which there isn't very much of, I wouldn't have thought, these days. I was going to go on a big rant yesterday and I stopped myself. I might save my rant for another day, another rainy day, but about how much of the independent media has been hijacked by wannabe celebrities who insert themselves into the narrative of the story they are covering. You see it all the time with Syria, with various activists who maybe have been to Syria for a couple of weeks, maybe they haven't been, and who appear on programmes on Press TV and maybe RT as experts, as independent journalists, when they're not really independent. They're there to espouse the RT or the Press TV line on it. And they're only there because they are saying exactly what Press TV and RT want them to say. And this is a recent phenomenon in the independent media. We see it all the time. And an increasing... what's the word I'm looking for here? Something that's becoming increasingly common with many of these people is, as I just said a minute ago, them inserting themselves into the narrative. They become the story by the very nature of the fact that they are covering the story. You see, wasn't there... I could say a lot more here, but I'm not going to say that. I reckon there's probably about a dozen globally that I know of anyway. There's probably more than a dozen, but I know of about a dozen content creators whom are truly independent insofar as what they are doing isn't being influenced by anybody, by any external company or organization or individual. And many of these people are hero worshipped by those who follow the independent media. And these become their go-to people for what they believe is an informed opinion on any one subject. That's not good. But I'm going to drop that right now before I say more than I want to say right now. Touched on this before on various monologues and various Sunday views, but I won't get into it now. But back to the article about the Hurricane Matthew and whether or not the technology exists to create such hurricanes. It does exist, and it's existed for a long time. There are binding international agreements which have been standing since the 1970s, where countries came together and agreed they wouldn't interfere with the weather. Why would they do that if it was impossible to do it? I know you might say that's specious reasoning, that. But back to Jesse Ventura. On one of the programmes he made for True TV, he visited with Dr. Nick Begich in Alaska. And while there, Begich was able to talk him through exactly what the HAARP technology was, what it was doing to the jet stream, how it was heating the jet stream and affecting the jet stream, how it was changing the behaviour of the jet stream, and how that could lead to anomalous weather events anywhere in the world that those who were operating the technology wanted, anywhere in the world. And what you'll find with the likes of Alexis Kleinman is they won't have done any research whatsoever into the history of cloud seeding, cloud bursting, geoengineering, something which has been discussed for years. They won't have done any of that. They won't know anything about Nick Begich, and they won't know anything about HAARP. So they make statements saying, well, this has been debunked and that's been debunked, but ultimately Nothing has been debunked. It hasn't been debunked. The idea that there is a technology whereby weather events can be created around the world. And increasingly, more and more mainstream folks, like Piers Corbyn, for example, the brother of the Prime Minister, the would-be Prime Minister, the leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn. Piers has been on this programme several times talking about this. More and more people from mainstream backgrounds are coming forward and saying, yeah, I believe it's possible. And I believe that some of these weather events are being manipulated there. 22 minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to take a very quick break. Back with more in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Welcome back. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Difficult show tonight. Chris Bolland and Barry Troer were due to be the guests. If you're just joining the programme, wondering what's going on, as you might be, we've had communication issues here in the studio, and it's basically put the cobblers on the programme in terms of we can't connect with our guests. Wonderfully sophisticated technology we have here. I mean, it really is the best of the best. We haven't cut any corners with it. In fact, you can't do any better than what we did putting together this. As I told you a couple of weeks back, it was a long-time ambition of mine to do that. And through your generous support and, you know, particularly one or two of you whom I've mentioned on the programme before, I was able to do that. I was able to wait and bide my time and put away and eventually create this wonderful state-of-the-art studio attached to my home where I live. But having had a very good start with it and having had no problem with it whatsoever, we've had an issue today, and I have been speaking to Paul Ripley. It'll be a one-off because he's going to be here early tomorrow and we're going to get it sorted. What a shame. What a shame. Based Ninja says Tesla technology, weather modification, HARP. Absolutely right. Catherine Curtis, how you doing, Catherine? Nice to know you're listening. Luga as well. Richie Luga says, Jesse and Alex, I have an issue with because they are driven by their ego and money-driven mentality, says Luga. I wasn't specifically referring to Alex and to Jesse. I mean, Alex has become a phenomenon. You know, InfoWars, I would say now, in 2016, and this is to their credit, the way they've gone about doing what they've done and building it up, is probably, and I admire it, is probably getting more. His own afternoon programme is probably getting more viewers than Fox News's. What would Fox News's flagship show be? I suppose it would be the O'Reilly Factor, wouldn't it? I'm willing to bet that Alex Jones's programme has a bigger audience than the O'Reilly Factor. And I said this weeks and weeks ago when I was criticising InfoWars' editorial policy of blaming Muslims for everything and going along with the bullshit government narrative. Instead of sticking with the old InfoWars narrative, the true narrative is that most of the terrorism we see is staged false flag attacks. Yes, terrorists are deliberately created and are moved around the world in migrant flows. We know this. But largely, this is all coming from Rothschild Zionism. We know this, right? And what's behind that? That's the problem I have with them. And we were talking about this a few weeks back on the programme, and I was having a go at some of the nonsense coming out of Alex's stooge, Paul Joseph Watson. And at the time we were saying, you know, they've positioned themselves, I suppose, to be maybe slightly further to the right of Fox News. But they're to be commended for it. If that's what they wanted to do, that's what they've done. But I wasn't talking about them. I'm talking about this new breed of activist-turned-journalists who do the rounds of RT and Press TV talking about Syria and Yemen and elsewhere, acting as if they are independent investigators when they are not. Even if we agree with some or most of what they say, they are not. And narcissism dictates that they invariably and inevitably insert themselves into the narrative. They want to become the story. It's all about me, 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 me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm on RT doing this. I'm standing up for the Syrian people. Look who's attacking me because of what I'm saying. I'm being attacked. This sort of bollocks, you see. And people who consume this need to be more discerning about it. They need to be more awake to it. They need to have a bit more street smarts about what's really going on in the so-called independent media, the vast majority of which is not independent in any way, shape or form. And it's full to the brim of narcissistic egomaniacs who couldn't give a shit about the people in Syria. Couldn't give less of a damn about the plight of those in Syria whom are homeless or whom are mourning their parents because they've been blown to oblivion by Islamic State or by whoever. It's all about them. It's all about me, 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 me. This is where we are with it. It's shocking, really. It's something we're going to be looking into in great detail, particularly on the television show, when the television show returns. There are some people we believe have been getting away with murder for years, acting as or describing themselves as an alternative to the system, when in fact they're anything but. And all they really are is mainstream light. And that's a term coined by David. And that's something we're going to explore in weeks to come. We feel at shows like this, and it isn't just us, by the way. It isn't just us. There are other very, very good content creators whom are going to go down this line as well. The spotlight that we shine on the mainstream media production companies, that spotlight should be shone on those claiming to be independent media and alternative media organisations as well. And that's what we're going to be doing. It's not what we're going to be focusing on, and it's not going to take up a big part of what we're going to do, but it's something we're going to be doing in the future anyway, because I'm very passionate about it, me personally. At Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Right. What are we going to do now? 14 minutes to the top of the hour. I was amused, by the way, by some of you talking about Pokemon and asking me to talk about Pokemon. I'm not going to talk about Pokemon, but one of the things that I have noticed is since I spoke at length about the Pokemon game, which resulted in grown men running around city centres, holding their phones up, looking to see if they could find imaginary characters. And I saw this a few weeks ago in the city centre because I was kind of looking for it. I was reading a news story in a newspaper and I was in Piccadilly Gardens in Manchester. And it was a lovely day. It was at the end of the summer, actually. Really glorious day. And I began to look around. I began to kind of observe people a bit more closely than I ordinarily would. And I began to notice a lot of people were doing it. A lot of people were doing it. So I kind of lost my temper and had a long rant about that. But funny enough, since then, I don't see so many people doing it. And I wonder, has it already peaked in terms of, you know, its kind of faddish nature? Has it peaked now? You know, have people got tired already? Is that what they've done to the human brain with this merging us with technology and getting us addicted to smartphones and tablets, has our attention span been destroyed to the level that Nintendo spend hundreds of millions of dollars on Pokemon, the latest game, and people are already getting tired of it? Because I haven't seen a lot of it. And I do look for it when I'm out and about, particularly at weekends, when obviously people have a bit more time and are using the parks and the city centres. And I have to say, I don't notice it happening as much. Faisal tweets that he did like Jesse's stuff on 9/11, but not much since then. We did extend an interview invitation to Jesse Ventura, I think about 18 months ago, through his son, whom I'm sometimes in contact with, but we were told he wasn't interested, so we didn't pursue it any further. That would have no bearing on my comments on Jesse whatsoever, the fact he didn't choose to come on. He's well within his rights to decide what he does and what he doesn't do. But Jesse is mainstream light. He's the definition of it. And that's why he would be the go-to guy for CNN and Fox News when they want to get just a little flavour of conspiratorial content, but they don't really want to get into it. Jesse will do. And I think that's what he would, you know, that's what he would be there for. Stevie tweets, Richie, as your show expands, will you be considering having co-presenters? No, Stevie, I work best alone. The future Mrs. Allen will jump in from time to time to do social media. She's in the building, but she works very long hours, and it's incredibly exhausting for her. She loves doing it and looks forward to doing it, and will do it once or twice a week going forward. But I won't be doing any co-presenting with anybody. Radio is a very intimate thing. Co-presenting is brilliant when you're doing breakfast radio or drive time radio. It's great. You have that bit of banter, and I've done that. I've worked with presenters over the years. Some of them I've really enjoyed working with and have gotten on really well with. But in an interview situation, radio is very intimate. It's an intimate medium, and it's an intimate conversation, a one-to-one, and it doesn't suit co-presenting. So no, definitely not. What I say to people who are interested in doing it, and I think this is what you might be getting at, if you're interested in doing it, it has never been easier because of the very technology that we've just decried, smartphone technology. It's never been more easy than it is now to turn on your microphone on your smartphone and to record yourself speaking about anything or speaking to somebody else. It's very easy. You know, I've done it. I've done Vox Pops for this program. I went out with a smartphone, turned it on. How are you doing? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And you are broadcasting. Martin Houston, our friend and a big supporter of the program, Martin broadcasts video, streams live video, and gives running commentary on events, activism events, protests, awareness events all over the country. It's never been easier. So rather than, you know, bitch about the Richie Allen show or InfoWars or Richie Allen has gone absolutely crap, I can't stand him anymore. Well, a YouTube account is free. Doesn't cost you anything. You've got a smartphone. Everybody has these days. It's got a very good microphone on it. It's broadcast quality. Go and do something with it. Put it on YouTube and you're out there. You're out there. And if it's good enough, if what you do is good enough, and if it's interesting enough, people like whatreallyhappened.com, people like davidicke.com will feature it on their headlines pages. Because David's editors are scouring the internet 24 hours a day for original content uploaded by people challenging the narrative, challenging the system's narrative. So anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. Somebody said to me about a month ago, Richie, you've got this stream and you've got all this airtime and you fill it to the brim with yourself, you narcissistic bastard. And I said, right, yeah, I see what you're getting at. You're wondering, why do I not put out other programming on my stream? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. The reason I can't do that is because the minute I do that, Ofcom, the regulatory authority for broadcasting in the United Kingdom, they tell me that I have just become a radio station And now that I'm a radio station with a linear schedule, I must have an Ofcom licence. So that's why we don't open up our stream. Because I have a stream. I'm live. Well, I'm not live, but my programme is on air nearly 24 hours a day. But I can't put other programmes on there. Because Ofcom will knock on the door and say, you're now a radio station. You've got a schedule. Therefore, you must have a licence. Because they obviously regulate online broadcasting as well, as we found out at the People's Voice, when the bastard said you must have a licence. They police the internet, so we can't do that. But there's another reason why I would be very reluctant to broadcast somebody else's content on my stream, and that is libel. Libel. A content creator came to me 2 years ago. Let's just say he's a man and he's based in, well, he's based in the Far East, let's say. And he said, Richie, put me on your schedule. I said, I can't. He said, why? And I said, well, even if it wasn't for Ofcom, much of what you say is libelous. You say the most heinous things about people and we would be wide open to libel. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I've a right good laugh on my show and I say whatever I want. And I said, well, you can fuck off and say it on your own show. You ain't going to say it on my stream. So that's one of the reasons as well, outside of Ofcom, I'd be very reluctant to carry other people's content. Because I don't have the time. Claire Calvi knows and can vouch for me. My friends know. I spend 16 hours a day on this programme. I can't waste my time listening to every second of a programme made by somebody else before uploading it and before streaming it on our players. I can't do that. So it's a strange one. So for now, it's the Richie Allen Show live between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. BST, and the repeats running from 11 p.m. right through the night and into the small hours of the morning, which is important because a lot of people don't hear it live. A lot of people don't do podcasts. They can't wait for YouTube and they want to hear it. So at 4 a.m. British time, we often have 80, 100, 200 people, individual streams, logged on, listening to the programme. So for that reason, it's important anyway. I've rattled on, I think, long enough. What do you think? I think I've rattled on long enough. Strange old day today then. Sorry about the way the programme turned out. Beyond my control. Couldn't do anything about it. I looked at the obvious things. It wasn't the obvious things. I'm a pretty calm individual. I've never panicked in my life. He says, as his nose grows by 15 inches. As I've become, you know, more experienced as a broadcaster, these things don't bother me very much. So I didn't panic. We had a good look at it and I couldn't figure it out and I couldn't do anything about it. So I'm just going to love you and leave you and apologise for that. I don't even know if I'm going to upload the programme to podcast. I might not do that because it's just a whole load of me and there's enough of me out there already. We're going to try and juggle a few things and switch a few things around and hopefully get Barry Troer and Chris Bolland on the programme either tomorrow or either Thursday. We'll have a look at that tomorrow and we'll figure out what we can do. Going to leave you with Paul Simon. Thanks for staying with me, those of you who did stay with me. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 8 p.m. BST. Hopefully all this will be sorted. In fact, I know it will be. Thanks for your patience and for your attention. This is Paul Simon and you can call me Al. Until tomorrow at 8 p.m, look after yourselves and one another. Bye for now.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit room. Mr. Beer. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street. He says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention. And oh, my nights are so long.
Where's my wife and family? What if I die?